Welcome to Political Point of View on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. In this program, we talk with politicians of all types, of all sorts, from local government through to central government, and including aspiring candidates. Sit back and enjoy.
On Political Point of View here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM, here from the Livermore studio, I am joined this month once again by Mayor Bernie Wandin. And Bernie, I think we might have a bit of an identity crisis in this region. Wayne Brown, he's done it again.
Yeah, we don't quite understand why Wayne is giving us this sort of marketing opportunity that he has done. But yes, three or four times now he's mentioned Horowhenua, wherever that is. But yeah, look, we've delighted in the increased profile. A lot of my mayors around the country have been commenting to me how, too, they get that attention. But, yeah, no, look, it's been a bit of fun and certainly raised the profile of the Horowhenua quite well.
Well, it's certainly good. Does it become a serious problem, though, that the mayor of New Zealand's largest city doesn't know where we are, wherever that is?
Oh, look, I think he's just sort of, you know, it's a flippant off-the-cuff remark. I think the message that he's giving, really, is the fact that he's treated just the same as I am. And reality is he's got a population of 1.5 million. We've got a population of 36,000. So I can quite clearly understand why he thinks that he is being unfairly treated and that he needs more control, and that the bureaucrats in Wellington shouldn't be telling him what to do. So in some ways I agree with him. But yeah, look, the fact that he's comparing Horowhenua to Auckland is, you know,
he has the same powers as you. That must make you feel quite powerful itself.
Very much. In fact, he does have more powers than every other mayor in the country. He has his own statutes in terms of being able to provide the budgets and things like that. So he does have a bit more power than we do. But he's right. He has, you know, parking meter charges and things like that are the same in Auckland as they are in Levin. So, look, I'm sure he will keep doing that to, you know, raise the ire of those bureaucrats in Wellington.
Sounds good. And you mentioned bureaucrats in Wellington quite a few times. Wellington is very hot on people's minds at the moment. We just had the general election. Thoughts on that?
Look, as the everybody's been saying, the mood for change was pretty strong. It's interesting that we have now gone almost completely, done a flip in terms of that. The good thing for the Horowhenua is that our Member of Parliament is at least part of that government. So, as I said last month, it's important for us as a district that we have someone representing us who is part of the government. It does give us more chance of things happening here, so that's good. Look, just want to acknowledge also Theresa's input over the last 3 years. It's not easy being a Member of Parliament, regardless of what party you're in, and look, she's done her best to advocate for this region, and I wish her all the best for the future.
You've been Mayor of this district since 2019. You would have had a couple of big bilateral meetings with Nathan Guy, the Honourable Nathan Guy, when he was MP, the outgoing MP Theresa Ngobi over the last 3 years, and now you will be meeting, I would assume, fairly regularly with Tim Costley, our new MP. Walk us through, obviously there'll be some things that you won't want to publicly discuss, but walk us through what that kind of meeting between arguably the two most important public figures in our district, what that actually looks like.
So, yes, we do meet regularly with our MPs. It's really important for the mayor to, and you know, make sure that he's informing his Member of Parliament what is going on in our district. And also get that feedback from them about what is happening central government-wise in terms of their direction, what is happening in their space. And as we've seen over the last few years, there's been some pretty major issues that have affected us both regionally and nationally. Things like O2NL, things like Three Waters, things like the RMA reforms and others. So it's really important for us to be able to have that conversation to make sure that we're advocating the best for the district.
What do you think are the big issues you will be taking to Tim with your first meeting with him?
definitely it will be the road, Three Waters, RMA, those sorts of things that will affect us or impact in terms of how we operate more. But I think there's also those wellbeing issues like housing, like health, like education and crime, all those sorts of safety, you know, community safety. They're all issues that we will obviously talk about and things that are particular to this district. I mean, the MP for our area has both Kapiti and Horowhenua to deal with. So there is contrasts, I no doubt, in terms of the issues that affect them as what we have. So, yeah, really, they're pretty crucial discussions that we have.
Of course, we had our general election within the last couple of weeks, but it has been just over a year since we had the local body elections. It's been a year since you were returned as Mayor Burney. Looking over the last year, how do you think it's all gone so far and where to go from here?
I look pretty comfortable where we sit at the moment. I think, you know, it was a bit of a big challenge. We had increased numbers around the table. We had Māori wards. We had eight new councillors. So bedding all that in and sort of getting our planning and our the way we would operate pretty quickly bedded was really important. I think it was a great success. But we, you know, to be honest, it feels like we've done 3 years' work in 1 year. Been very full on, doing a long-term plan amendment, looking at the rating review, the landfill issue, O2NL again being on, off, on, off. So, yeah, look, it's been, the year has flown. But as I keep telling my councillors, you know, the time does go really quick. If you want to make a change or influence what goes on, you've got to be ready to stand up and make that point pretty quickly.
What's the biggest highlight of the last 12 months?
Look, I think there's been a couple of things. I think the final sign-off of the landfill, getting it closed completely, I think is definitely a highlight. But as I just intimated, the one of the highlights has been the way we've worked together, having eight new councillors, bedding in a plan on a page, making sure our priorities are right. I've been very pleased with the way the table is operating, because that can dictate a lot of, you know, how the decision-making process works. And as we see around the country, if you have a dysfunctional council or, you know, you don't get on with your chief executive,
things
can
fall
apart. Things fall apart, exactly. But we've kept on track really well, I think.
Over the next 2 years and going forward even beyond that, looking at the LTP, the long-term plan, what do you forecast for the region ahead?
Well, as we've seen over the last few years, we're going to have some challenges again around growth and managing that. We are going to continue to grow at a faster rate than many districts around the country. So we have to ensure that we've got all the infrastructure in place. Our theme for the long-term plan this term is to get back to basics. We want to ensure that we're still doing delivery of our core services like water, wastewater, rubbish, our parks, our, you know, community centres. We're doing that really well, but also, hopefully, providing the amenities to enable people to, you know, think that this is a fantastic place to live. And look, there are some really good things happening, but it will be a challenge. You know, the economy is in, you know, in a state where interest rates, you know, depreciation of assets, all those sorts of things will play a big part. But, yeah, we've got to keep our eye on doing those basics really well.
On services and amenities, I note that you have a new app. People can report various issues, any alerts and notifications going on about events or other happenings around our area. Anteno.
So just another way for the community to be engaged and, you know what's going on, but also let us know what's going on as well. Really important that we stay connected and engaged with our community. We don't operate without our community. They can't operate without us. So the better we are, you know, in sync, if you like, and working together, I think the better. Our customer service survey this year showed that if we're more responsive, and that we, you know, acknowledge those things that aren't quite working well and we get them fixed quicker, then people have a much better, you know, sort of idea of what council is doing and a much more positive view of what council is doing as well. So important for us to be able to continue to do that.
And you had the satisfaction survey last month. In terms of engagement, are you happy with where things are when it comes to engagement with the community, particularly around social media, reaching out to people on social media?
Yeah, look, it's one of the avenues of communication that we've improved a huge amount on over the last 12 months. And another thing I'm reasonably proud, but we haven't forgotten about the face-to-face meetings, you know, things like public forums, a couple with a councillor, all those sorts of things have really improved that communication ability for people. If they want to talk to someone, they can. As I, you know, my number, phone number is in the phone book. People can email, talk to me any day of the, you know, any time of the day, not necessarily the night. But, you know, we need to be connected to our community. And I think we've done a much better job in doing that. The survey did show that people have a lot more confidence in our decision making process now, that it is a lot more open and transparent than it's ever been, and I think we'll continue to grow that.
I see that the council is now on TikTok.
Well, yeah, look, don't ask me to understand what that's
all
about.
Well, I was just going to ask you what your dance moves are like.
Not very good. And you will have seen that, in fact, I didn't get up and dance, really. I threw a few hoops, which is great. But, yeah, look, I'm you know, of an age where I know what TikTok is, but I'm not going to get into it.
You're not worried that the Chinese government are going to spy on essential council services or something like that?
I don't think they're. I'm sure they've got far more important things to do than worry about what's going on in the Horowhenua.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose Wayne Brown, if he's not interested, maybe the Chinese government isn't either. We'll move on to some of the local events going on around the space,
sure.
Particularly at a local level. Age on the Go is coming up in November. What is that looking like? Registrations closed last week.
Looking very successful again. Look, Age on the Go is probably one of the real well-attended community events that highlight the number of opportunities that people have in the community. You know, the clubs and organisations that are represented there, there's a vast array of them, and having them all in one place like this is really successful. And this will be the third or fourth year that we've run it. It's a really enjoyable day, actually.
I see that the splash pad is opening back up for summer. That's happening. When is that happening? Is that happening at the end of this weekend or next weekend?
I think just, is it Labor weekend on Monday or Tuesday? It's very soon. I'm sure it'll be in my diary. This time I won't be getting under the splash pad like I did for the opening. But again, the ability for the community to be have those sorts of amenities is fantastic, and we know how well it was used last summer. I'm sure it will be again this summer.
And moving on to the end of the year, a big community facility will be opening soon. Anyone who's been out to Waitiri Beach would have seen that the Surf Lifesaving Club is now being built, which is quite important for people wanting to go and have a summer swim, that the Surf Lifesavers have that facility. But it's also going to be quite a good space for the community to use for events, meetings, etc. How is that looking for end of November completion?
I think, in fact, the surf club take over possession of it pretty much before the end of this month.
Okay.
Official opening won't be until early December. But look, this is a fantastic asset for the Waitariri community. We know that the building that they've been existing in for the last, many years should have been probably condemned. It's not fit for purpose and needed to be replaced. This is the end of probably a 20-year era where it was identified, a long time ago that building needed to be replaced. Accretion of our, the beach has meant that you can't even see the water or the beach at the moment from the present building. So having this new building will be, fantastic. It'll be a great asset. And I know it's looking fantastic. I'm speaking to those from the club. They're really excited about the prospect of going into that building.
You say the Surf Life Club are moving in before the end of this month, before the end of October. So is construction finished?
Just about, yes. It's. I think there were just a few things that they were doing inside the building. Obviously, there's a bit of groundwork to do outside, things like that. But, yeah, look, it's we're, you know, really pleased that a local construction company have built that building. It's on time and on budget, which is fantastic. And should not forget also the redevelopment of the Foxton Pools, which will be open again early December as well, ready for the summer season. You know, that's, again, looking really fantastic on time and on budget as well. So, yeah, really pleased with those projects.
It's good that the northern part of our district has those facilities.
Oh, definitely. You know, look, we are a district. We're not just Levin. We're not just... you know, the fact that we can identify, you know, areas in the community that need that support, and everybody from Levin, you know, they go to Waitariri Beach and Foxton Beach and things like that. In fact, the Waitariri Surf Club building, when you add that to the investment that was made at the Foxton Beach Surf Life Saving Club the year before, we now have two really modern, contemporary buildings that are providing a really great support to our community.
As we were talking about the Surf Life Saving Club, that will open to the public in early December. Also in December is Christmas. We're about 10 weeks away from that now. Where's the year gone, honestly?
I know.
But 10 weeks to go, a couple of events relating to Christmas, the festive holiday season around the Hora Whenua. Unfortunately, the Christmas parade in Levin won't be one of them. Why?
It won't be one of them. Look, one of the things is that because we have State Highway 1 running through our centre of our town, and that is, you know, the logical place that you would put a Christmas parade, the reality is that costs, organisation, all a number of factors. The call was made to not do the Christmas parade this year and to concentrate on a few things that didn't need massive organisation, or other community groups could support that as well rather than just council. I mean, the organisation of a Christmas parade is a massive undertaking. It doesn't just happen. But also, when you include things like the number of people needed and the traffic management costs and all those sorts of things, the call was made by management to post, well, not do it this year, but to, you know, look at other things that we could do. So you'll see, like, you know, the night with the Encounter Church, that will be, you know, carols in the park and other bits and pieces that we are going to be doing and supporting in other ways. Look, it is sad the Christmas parade is not on, but I'm sure, hopefully, might happen is that some people in the community will think, no, we need to do that next year, and maybe they'll suggest ways and means of actually being able to do it. So, yeah, it's not all on council all the time.
And being able to cut costs on it as well?
Exactly. I mean, it is cost, you know, it's not so much just the parade itself, but it's the time, the resources needed put in, and things like that traffic management system. It's very costly, and there's not much difference, in fact, from a traffic management system cost from State Highway 1 to even putting it, say, down Wirra Road.
Someone was asking me this question the other day when it comes to the cost of traffic control. How much does it actually cost to close down State Highway 1 for several hours?
Well, we have to get agreement from Waka Kotahi, of course, because they're the ones that control State Highway 1. It's pretty big, because as you can imagine, with the amount of traffic that flows through State Highway 1, even closing it for only a couple of hours requires a huge amount of preparation, ensuring that all the resources and all the, it's people, time and money, that all add up to quite a significant cost.
So the subtle message in there is, if you want the Christmas parade, build the expressway?
Yes, that could definitely be, as we keep saying, once the expressway is here, we get our town centre back. So there's all sorts of possibilities that we could make sure happen when that does. Unfortunately, that's a little way away, although I know procurement is out there for the expressway, and there will be hearings, environmental court hearings this month. They hope to let the contracts by Christmas. So, yeah, there is progress being made in that space as well. So, yeah, that's going ahead as planned.
I see that approach has now been made to the community on O2 and L for local businesses to get involved in every aspect of it.
Well, it's not just building a road, is it? There's a vast array of different things that go with building a road like that. And as we've seen with, you know, the expressways that have already been built, there's, you know, all that sort of work on the sides. There's the pathways, there's the plantings, there's the, you know, the signage, all sorts of things. I think the opportunities for business in the Horowhenua are fantastic. And I would encourage people to try and get involved. I think there's, you know, huge possibilities there.
I'm not sure if we talked about this last month or not. Might have actually been with Nikki the month before. But the council reduced speed limits down to 80 kilometres and they're looking at reviews around schools and some of the smaller communities. At the same time, there's a discussion around these multi-lane expressways and motorways to increase the speed limit. The review for Transmission Gully, or there's a review coming for Transmission Gully, that 110 could be feasible. What's your take on O2NL potentially having 100 k's, 110 k's per hour?
Oh, I think 110 k's is pretty logical, to be honest. It's a two-lane expressway with medium barriers and side barriers. You know, as long as people drive responsibly, I don't think there's a heck of a lot of difference between 100 and 110 on an expressway like that. And in fact, if you drive at 100, even currently, you're being passed by the vast majority of the traffic, except for the trucks. But I see some real advantage in doing that. I think it's, in some ways, it's almost safer to drive at 110 than it is to 100. So that those people sitting in the slow lane don't feel pressured to, drive at 110. But also reducing the speed around, say, between Levin and Otaki to 80 k's, we've not seen one death or serious injury since they've done that. Which goes to show, I think, pretty significantly that speed reduction does help in terms of people being a lot more responsible. I know some would argue that it's too slow, but I think, you know, with that sort of outcome, that safety outcome, I think speaks volumes. Our problem, to be honest, has been further north. You know, State Highway 57, and, you know, we've had some terrible, shocking, tragic events over the last little while that haven't been very good at all. So, yeah, look, I think most of it is not the road. I think it is driver inattention or just, you know, lack of concentration at times.
These projects that are taking place right now under NZTA, Waka Kotahi, south of Levin, coming off the Kapiti Expressway in Ōtaki, going up to Oho, they're doing a lot of work on median barriers and side barriers and things like that. There's been discussion around similar sort of work being done on State Highway 1 anyway, north to Foxton. Do you have any update or view or take on any of that?
I know there's parts of the community up there that are sort of in discussions with Waka Kotahi about the structure of that and how, if you like, the length of it, the extent of it. They believe that it's going to actually cause less, it'll be less safe than it should be. So, look, all I know is that when they do those sorts of things, there is less accidents, there's less serious injury and death. So my take on that is that if that's better for the 99.9% of the population, then I do believe it's a positive move. Look, the other thing I should mention is that Waka Kotahi are doing the upgrades or the maintaining of State Highway 1 through the middle of town over the summer. There will be some sort of inconvenience and a bit of, it won't be easy getting around and through town as much as it has been. But as we know, especially with the state of State Highway 1, outside the Adventure Park and the council building, it's an absolute shambles at the moment and it needs to be fixed as soon as possible.
Any update on the trees that line Oxford Street, which is on State Highway 1?
No, we haven't had any update on that. And we're expecting the commissioner to have that verdict reasonably shortly. I'm not quite sure what the hold-up is, but I thought it might have been done by now. But obviously there's still a bit of work to be done in deciding it. And, you know, I'm glad I'm not making that decision. It won't be an easy one.
you're not making that decision, but do you have a view on what should happen to those trees?
Yeah, look, there's two things. One, I like the trees. Don't get me wrong. I think the trees are a great asset to the community. Give us a bit of, give us a good look. But these ones, the leaves are causing issues to a lot of places. The roots are up, lifting our footpaths and things like that. My view is that with the O2NL happening and us needing to redevelop our town centre, that there is an opportunity to actually create a better amenable sort of area. Whether that includes the current trees or why don't we cut them, take them out and put something new in that is different and maybe won't cause as much damage to our streetscape and the, get leaves and gutterings and things like that causing flooding. So, yeah, look, I'm of a mind that they probably should come out, but should be replaced when we do the redevelopment with a different, a different tree.
The roots are uprooting the footpaths.
Yep.
Is that a risk to the buildings as well?
Probably not the buildings, but certainly the footpaths. And footpaths are a major, major issue for a lot of our community. We have a lot of mobility scooters. We have a lot of people, use...
It affects accessibility.
It does, very much so. And if we get any more complaints about footpaths, then we think it's a pretty critical a way. And we want to improve footpaths and cycling ability for people to get around rather than, cause them problems.
We actually deviated quite a bit there from what we were talking about on the Christmas side of things. Some of the Christmas events coming up. Santa Paws is returning for the first time in 4 years.
Yes.
That's going to be happening on the 19th of November. Any other views or any other thoughts on some of the other Christmas events, Christmas-themed events coming up?
Oh, I think, look, whatever we do, and I know there's about 6 or 7 events that the public could get involved in. I think there's an opportunity there for... to ensure that people think that the community has got a Christmas feel about it. Look, sure, a parade for a couple of hours on a Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock will be missed by some, but it may well give people some impetus in terms of trying to maybe do something a little bit better. And maybe council has a rethink about, what it does as well and how it supports those different events. We've just been through a community funding and around, and there's been a number of Christmas functions that we have supported, both in Shannon and in Levin mainly, because there are community groups that are organising things and have applied for support from council, and we have seen fit to do that.
The parade's still happening in Shannon, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. And they have a great day up there on just before Christmas. So I enjoy going up there
on the 16th of December.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah, no, it's always a pretty special day.
Do you have a dog and are you taking it to Santa Paws?
I don't have a dog now. Used to, but we don't anymore. But I'll probably go down and have a look and see what it's all about for sure.
Get your photo taken for $5.
Exactly.
Well, we've covered a lot of topics in just under half an hour. We've done very well, Bernie. Is there anything else you'd like to say before you head off to your next important meeting?
I am heading off to Foxton in a minute. But look, just about the long-term plan process that we're about to enter, we are seeking, people's feedback and engagement through that process. We're going to start pre-engagement very shortly. And we would be, looking for either support for what we're doing or their views in terms of what we think they or what they think we should be doing better. And I'd love people to be engaged in that process if they see fit.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for coming in, Mayor Bernie. I hope the woes with Wayne Brown don't keep continuing. I hope you have a good relationship with Tim over the next 3 years. And I hope you get a dog before Santa Paws in a few weeks' time. You've been listening to Mayor Bernie on Political Point of View here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM.
You've been listening to Political Point of View on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. In this program, we've talked with politicians of all types, of all sorts, from local government through to central government and including aspiring candidates.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.